There's a in very specific issues that you can look at. The fact is that Hurricane Matthew that is now hitting the coast of the United States was just beginning in the Caribbean, and the day of the vote, the whole northern coast of Colombia was swamped by rain, and so the voter turnout was the lowest, precisely on the Atlantic coast. Well, that area voted overwhelmingly for the yes. But if the voter turnout had been just the same degree that it had been throughout the country, maybe the vote would have been different.
Daniel Garcia Pena, we want to thank you for being with us, Colombia's High Commissioner for Peace from 1995 to 98, professor of political science at National University in Bogota, and founder of Planet Peace. That does it for our show. Again, a note about Sunday night, the night of the second debate. It will be a town hall. We will be broadcasting from 8 Eastern Standard Time until 11:30, a roundtable discussion. Then we'll break the sound barrier by having Jill Stein answer the same questions put to the major party candidates. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. This is Jay Koronek, happy to be with you today. It is now October. It is October the 7th, 2016. And this is the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area. I'm joined in the studio by our WHFR News Director, John Conroy. How you doing, John?
I'm well, Jay. How are you, sir?
Okay. Well, we're off and running here. We don't have any political candidates for the show today, but there was the very exciting student political issues forum on campus over in the building next to us, known as the Administrative Services and Conference Center, ASCC. And boy, a lot of people over there. So I saw Senator Dave Kinesic over there, and I know Debbie Dingell was scheduled to be there. A lot of our local politicians showed up, and all kinds of workshops and discussions and keynote presentations since early this morning. It's pretty much finishing up now. The public wasn't specifically invited, but I just think it's a great thing to get that organized. Anthony Perry, who is our political science instructor, has been in charge of that, and we have at least one of those every year, usually at before November, whatever election is coming up. And it's a great time for, because even if there is an election, it's a great time for the students to meet and ask questions of the people who are representing them and find out more about government, not just to encourage them to vote, but actually be able to make more educated votes too. So, and I got a lot of exciting information, John. Let's see if I brought it in here. I hope I didn't set it down somewhere else. Yep, I did. Okay, well, I can play an announcement and go back to the office to get it, because we got the voter guides. You know, the voter guides are now published here in Dearborn, and they're done by the League of Women Voters, Dearborn, Dearborn Heights. That organization nationwide, in fact, has a website called vote411.org. And so anyone in any state can go there. You put in your zip code and your address, and it will custom tailor the exact ballot that you're going to see and give you little mini descriptions about the candidates. That is, if the candidates desired to give them any information about themselves and answer the questions. I was surprised in looking at some local candidates on that website just yesterday. Some candidates didn't bother to give any response. Well, of course, my response to them, I'm not going to vote for them.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're not willing to share information about themselves and how they feel about the issues, and, you know, the League of Women Voters is not asking for, you know, half an hour dissertation. They're asking for about two or three sentences for each issue.
Just a little participation.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, it's a soundbite that doesn't really mean all that much in the long run. You can't just say, oh, what's your answer to the environmental crisis? Well, I think we got to fix it. Okay, well, everybody would agree to that. But what are the specifics? You know, well, that would take a lot longer. Most of these issues are complicated, and it would take a variety of actions to solve the problems. And, of course, that would be the best approach, is to have a variety of things that you do that would help to, I don't know, ameliorate climate change. And who knows? Maybe the hurricanes, the bad weather, although this time of year there's frequently a hurricane of some sort down south, Florida or wherever, and we hope everybody in Florida is managing, surviving. Hopefully they evacuated in time, because there can be a lot of those low-lying areas down there that definitely will be overwhelmed by water and winds. But I want to get the 411 ballot here and let you hear some comments about it. I also wanted to mention that next week, very important, League of Women, because it's on the, along with the League of Women Voters issue, League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights is sponsoring a special forum, not of candidates, but of speakers that are going to give you all the information you might need to make an informed decision on a ballot proposal that'll be on the November 8th ballot. It's all about the new Regional Transit Authority, or RTA, that has been in the planning now for 4 years. We voted 4 years ago to give permission for there to be a regional plan, not just Detroit buses, but buses, trains, everything, including bicycle paths. The whole big issue is all under one umbrella, according to this plan. And they've got all the interested parties to make input, from Detroit to the Macomb County, Oakland County, and so on, all the surrounding areas. And although some people are saying, and there was an editorial from friend of the station, Regan Ford, in last week's Press and Guide that we may have time to share with you today, he's actually against the Regional Transit Authority. He's in favor of having people vote no. And you need to read that. Luckily, even though it's an opinion piece, it is still on the Press and Guide website under opinions. So even though it's 2 weeks old, it's still there. And so just look for that. It's pressandguide.com. And you'll see where he talks about that. But this presentation is going to be at the Christ Episcopal Church on Military, north of Michigan Avenue, next Thursday night. And what is that? The 13th, October 13th, next Thursday night at 7 p.m. Probably last an hour or two. They've got three speakers, and I'm going to go over the whole plan in detail, because it is multifaceted. Again, if you're going to have a good answer to a plan, and you're going to unify all the different methods of public transportation in this tri-county area, you've got to have a big plan. And some people don't like all the details, and some people think that this is long overdue that we have this kind of focus, at least, that we incorporate the whole area. And I've been in favor of that, and we've mentioned on this show, I had special guests. As anybody that knows anything about urban planning knows, that Detroit has never really done that, ever. And most of the really successful large urban areas in other parts of the country have an urban plan, a regional plan, that everybody participates in. Because, in fact, East Dearborn, is it all that much different than West Detroit? Some people say, well, yes, definitely. I know different political structures and financing of schools and so on. But, no, it's the environment, the services, they should be pretty much the same, especially public transportation. So I think this concept was long overdue, mm-hmm. And those are opinions. So all the opinions expressed on this show
Our opinions only. They are not necessarily endorsed by Henry Ford College or WHFR.
That's right. No, we're not speaking for the station, just ourselves, since there's only two of us here. So you have to think this through, and we're telling you that if you get to go to that forum, and I don't know if there's a way that I can record it, and I will look into that and play it back. We don't have too many hours, if it is a two-hour presentation, but I'll try to summarize it as best I can as a reporter. Mm-hmm. Get my pen and paper out. Next Friday on the air, we'll have, I know, one guest coming in briefly. We have a guest today coming in about 1:30 from the community to tell us about some exciting information about their nonprofit organization and an event coming up. Anyway, so that's the Regional Transit Authority proposal is now asking for funding of the plan that they've been planning for 4 years. 4 years they've been working on this, and now it needs to be funded, of course. Okay, I mean, yes, we gave permission 4 years ago to form the RTA, but there's not enough money to operate the system, yet. And so this is going to cost people an additional assessment on their taxes every year in the Tri-County area in order to fund this. But imagine if it really works. Imagine if it really works. I've seen communities. I visit just one example, Austin, Texas. Fantastic bus system. Fantastic mini rail system. Fantastic. And you know, you need a bus. You need a mini rail to get you somewhere. They're right there. I mean, any time of the day or night, within a few minutes, you're all set to go, and it hardly costs any money at all. So you don't even need a car. Oh, my God. Oops, I'm speaking against the auto industry now in Detroit. Well, they're not really in Detroit anymore. Ford is in Dearborn still with their world headquarters, but that's about it. So it's a very exciting plan. We'll try to get you more of the details for next Friday. If you can get to that special Regional Transit Authority forum discussion, again, we'll have the information. I don't know if I have it in our notebook here, but you can certainly go to League of Women Voters, Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, just the first letter of each of those words, .org, and it'll give you the information. But it'll be at the Christ Episcopal Church, just north of Michigan Avenue on Monroe, on off Military. Somebody said it's on the right. On the left is the Catholic Church. Okay, so Christ Episcopal is on the right. Free parking there, 7 p.m. next Thursday night, Regional Transit Authority presentation. And you should read Regan Ford's op-ed piece from 2 weeks ago also from pressandguide.com. John, what's happening downriver? Give me some of your highlights right now.
Sure, Jay. We are, it's homecoming in Grosse Hill this weekend.
Well, all righty.
We've got a big parade at 4 o'clock this afternoon and a game with Airport Carleton High School. This will be a pretty exciting evening and day before that. We also have a major harvest festival tomorrow on Saturday on Grosse Hill's Centennial Farm area. And that's, of course, we have our record show here tomorrow all day. And that's a much bigger event as far as I'm concerned. But I want to talk about all the events as much as we can.
The phone has been ringing off the hook for the record show. That's the way it should be here. I mean, here at the station, about questions and how do you get to the college and so on. Let's just start it just by playing one of our announcements here about it. Let's see. The short form. Oh, let's use the short form. We've got long and short. So here's one of our pre-recorded announcements about it. Very big. It's a fundraiser for WHFR. They are every year. This is our 9th annual year. It's been very successful, both for us and for record collectors. You know, if you want to play records, if you want to get into that turntable kind of thing at home, then there's a lot of great material on records that has never gotten to CDs, never gotten to compact disc format or digital downloads or anything. And it's true that there's a few major manufacturers of music these days that are releasing a couple of vinyl records every now and then. Mm-hmm. I know there's a new album just was released by Nora Jones. And that artist started her career about 8 or 10 years ago with a jazz-oriented album, sort of soft jazz. And she hasn't done soft jazz since. And this new album has just been released. And my point is, it's available also in a vinyl record format, if you wanted that. But basically, you can't get vinyl records anymore, brand new, and there's so many wonderful recordings, and it's only available through quality sources. And this record show that we sponsor has got some great professional vendors, and the music is in very, very good shape and very reasonable prices, certainly less than what the new release of Nora Jones costs, which is $20. Although they do have some real collector's items, LPs I've seen in the past that might even be charging more for, but those are very, very special. Most of them are less than that. And it's just a lot of fun to browse and talk about music, and WHFR is there. We'll be selling some of our own used CDs and used vinyl, too. We got a lot of that, and that'll be only $1 each. Only $1 each.
Amazing prices.
Yeah, we are the loss leader. But we got to get rid of this stuff, too, so we got so much. Get a lot of donations from people, too. Anyway, here's the announcement. Take some notes from it, and we'll be right back with more of the Journal.
Hello, WHFR. The time has come for our 9th annual WHFR record show here at the campus of Henry Ford College on October the 8th, Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Come on and hang out with us. We're going to have so much music and music memorabilia. There will be a whole building full of vendors with everything you think you may want. So come on out and check out WHFR's 9th annual record show. There will be door prizes, free giveaways, and a lot of fun for the whole family. On behalf of WHFR radio station, We Make Waves, we extend this personal invitation to you. October the 8th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Check out WHFR.fm for more information, or call us 313-845-9676. WHFR, we make music.
Yeah, that's the story. So tomorrow, it's going to be exciting, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., WHFR's 9th annual record show featuring thousands of records, CDs, videos, and other music memorabilia. And it goes until 4 p.m., as we said. So there's a early admission charge of $5 at 9 o'clock, but at 10 to 4, it's a sliding scale, whatever you can afford. General admission is $1 to $5. We would appreciate it's a donation coming directly to us. And we really need your support every chance we get. we only do our pledge drive once a year for 1 week every spring, and we do these other events, concerts, and so on, where our costs are very low, and most of the people are providing their services for free. Our vendors do pay for the tables to display their wares on, and of course, bring some cash. Some vendors don't take credit cards, but many do. And spend some time to browse. Henry Ford College, main campus, 5101 Evergreen Road, just south of Ford Road. Free parking, north and south student lots are free. And it's tomorrow, October 8th. And we'll see you here. Oh, there's door prizes, giveaways, and all kinds of other things happening. But whfr.fm /record show is the website that'll take you directly to that information, too. whfr.fm/record show. One word, record show. Okay. John Conroy has left the studio right now to our guest from the local nonprofit I mentioned. I want to keep some excitement built up here, is just coming into the station now. So I'm looking at a number of things here. Oh boy, oh boy. One of the things that was probably covered adequately on the commercials network is that, of course, a lot of people have been campaigning for their either Democrat or Republican candidate. Bernie Sanders, who won the Democratic primary in Michigan earlier this year, did come in to town just yesterday campaigning for for Hillary Clinton. And there's coverage in the Metro Times. and also in Arab American News. The Arab American News have endorsed, unlike other papers with no endorsement, they have endorsed Hillary Clinton for president. Pretty exciting stuff, huh? Okay. And each story from a different reporter has a little bit different slant to it, so it's always good to read a couple of papers, a couple of stories, to get the get an idea of what's really going on. Let me talk about this. There we go. School board candidate Adele Mozip is profiled in the Arab American News. The new issue this weekend. It's on their website today. And it also talks about the other candidates too, but let's just read this story. When we get more information, it looks like the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights, I haven't got the final word, but it looks like they're not doing a candidate forum for the Dearborn School Board. League of Women Voters Dearborn, in Detroit are very concerned because there's a whole bunch of people running for the Detroit School Board. And that's going to be very confusing to voters, but hopefully they'll get good candidates and good people elected. Here in Dearborn, though, here we go. Here's the story from Arab American News yesterday, posted just yesterday. The school board trustee race is unique in that all of the four candidates vying for two of the six-year terms are Arab Americans. But 29-year-old Adele Mozip, that's M-O-Z-I-P, is hoping his deep-rooted history with the district as both a student and a parent, along with growing familiarity among the community, will be able to help nab him one of those two open seats. So this is a background piece on Adele Mozip. It's not an endorsement, but just so you might want to know who he is. Mozip, who graduated from Fortson High School in 2004, went on to obtain a bachelor's degree at the University of Michigan, Dearborn, and an MBA, that's a Master's of Business Administration, at Wayne State University, said that being a first-generation college graduate puts him in a unique position to understand students' aspirations and concerns. Here's a quote from him. Being a product of Dearborn schools in the recent decade gives me a great advantage. I understand the student issues, and I know the points we need to focus on. I still go back to the schools and listen to the students directly. Unquote. For more than 3 years, Mozip has worked on a committee that reviews students' performances at both Salina School, and Ethel Ford High School. And he also looks for ways to improve achievement and parent engagement. He's also the lead instructor for the Comcast Access Digital Connectors program, which introduces high school and early college students to information technology, community service, and civic engagement. With a uniquely large Arab American population across the district, Mozip is is looking to limit the language barriers that often stifle students' progress and limit participation from parents. Another quote from him, there are some unique challenges that we face as far as language and as far as getting accumulated with the newcomers. That can't be the word he used because that's not correct. Getting accustomed or getting acquainted. Acquainted is the word. Okay, not accumulated. Old English teacher in me. Because I was an English teacher here full-time at Henry Ford College, yes, in my previous career, if you will, from 1968 to about 1981 when I switched over to the telecommunication area. So that's the way that goes, okay? And he says, but going on, the district has been doing a really good job of handling the situation with those newcomers. Most of the literature going to the parents is translated. The school is really helpful when it comes to immigrant families, unquote. Mozip has two sons who attend Gear Park Elementary. His wife is a student at Henry Ford College. However, the article goes on to say he saw that in recent years there had been a widening student achievement gap at some of the schools that the district needs to improve on. He noted that morale among teachers across the nation is underwhelming. And I've mentioned that before. Not necessarily here among staff at Henry Ford College, but certainly in the K-12 system. They're being paid less, their benefits are being cut, they're being fired without adequate reason, all thanks to the legislature's activities here in Michigan. And so it's not fun to be a teacher in K-12 anymore. And yes, I'm primarily quoting from my daughter's experience out in Southfield Schools. She's a seventh grade science teacher and has been there almost 20 years now. But she's not happy. She's a great teacher, and she's doing a great job, I think. But it runs in the family, of course. but you know, I'm really sorry for her, and I'm sorry for all the teachers that feel that way. There is an editorial comment in the News Herald, newsherald.com, that was just on their website that I noted, and it is actually the woman who downriver is speaking for teachers. So if you want to go there and read the most recent op-ed, as they call it, editorial comment, letters to the editor, it's on the news-herald.com website. Click on opinion button, and this woman, you know, who's a teacher herself, I believe, I think she is, she's speaking about the low level of enthusiasm that teachers have these days because of everything that's been done against them, to hurt them, to make teaching less easy to do. And it's not the accountability, but when they put in like assessment tests and then you're forced by the administration to teach to the tests rather than get to core issues of applying knowledge and critical thinking, it really hurts because teachers, good teachers, they know the difference. And that's the challenge today. And of course, not enough money for all the facilities and all the equipment and all the programs that need to be done. We are still not back up to, despite what our governor said, we're still not back up to the funding levels before 2008. Isn't that amazing? After all these years, yes, we had a little problem with finances in 2008, but we're still not up to those levels. So, Mr. Mosip, again, we're finishing up the story about Adele Mosip, who's one of the four candidates for Dearborn School Board for two of the six-year terms. He says, again, a quote from him, teachers are being underpaid and underappreciated. What did I tell you? He says he agrees too. That shouldn't be happening at our schools. One of the cornerstones of my campaign is to enhance the compensation package we offer our teachers. People who really want to teach aren't even considering it right now because of the pay, unquote. And if you wanted to listen again to the interview with Ishmael Ahmed, he was on the show last week. You can go to whfr.fm. He is running for, at the state level, Michigan State Board of Education. He wants to be an advocate, a strong advocate for the schools and teachers, and he's been very closely connected to the schools of Dearborn. His wife is still working for the Dearborn schools, Margaret Ahmed, a good friend of the station too. And so he's again, his feelings about that. We did a nice 30-minute interview with him last week. Go to whfr.fm, click on talk shows, click on the WHFR journal, and then select the date from last week, which was September 30th. Yes, it was. That's how time flies. Yes. Okay. All right. So now we have a special guest I told you about in the studio, and turn on the microphone, Kornick, that would help. We'd like to welcome our guest from the Dearborn Orchestral Society. Go ahead, introduce yourself to our listeners.
Well, my name is Gloria Nysek, and my husband and I just got here in time. We were attending a Detroit Symphony concert this morning, and they had a fabulous concert, a Gershwin, and followed by a Chopin, and ended with Respighi, The Pines of Rome. And here we are to talk about the Dearborn Symphony.
That's right, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sometimes we have to be careful here not abbreviating DSO, because that's the first acronym for the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, but it's the same letters as Dearborn Symphony,
right.
But I know we'd like to delineate it here by using DOS, which is not the operating system for Microsoft computers, PCs, but Dearborn Orchestral Society, so DOS.
Correct.
There's only one DOS, at least in terms of symphonic music. Where was that performance today? Was that the center?
Yes, at Orchestra Hall.
Oh, downtown.
Downtown Orchestra Hall.
Of course,
that's
their
why
Orchestra
I say
Hall.
We
yes.
just made it in time.
Sure.
Anyway,
sure.
I'm here to talk about the Dearborn Symphony, mm-hmm. and we have a fundraiser coming up Saturday night, October 29, and it's Murder at the Courthouse.
Ooh.
And the proceeds are going to benefit two organizations, the Dearborn Symphony, as well as the Players Guild of Dearborn.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an absolutely fabulous event. It's going to take place at the 19th District Courthouse, which is just across the parking lot from the Performing Arts Center. And we have in our character roles three people who have donated additional monies so that they could take these character roles. And starring in the judge character role is Sue DeBaja. And the defense attorney is Ali Hamoud. And our prosecuting attorney is going to be the mayor, Jack O'Reilly.
Wow. Okay.
And, we've interviewed all those folks we've interviewed on our show at different times
yeah.
because they're running for various offices.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, now they're going to be performing.
And Susan DeBaja specifically, of course, we interviewed her on the show. There's a 30-minute interview with her, just to mention the podcast. It's still there, whfr.fm. That was, let's see, give the date, July 29th. Mm-hmm. She was on the show talking about her candidacy. And it's been a somewhat controversial candidacy for her. But the whole idea for the event didn't come from the controversy of the between the politicians running for this office. No.
I see.
No. You could exaggerate and make a joke and say, ooh, one of the candidates is going to die at this. No. Who came up with the script then? Or are they just ad-libbing?
Well, the script, no. I called the Players Guild to see if they would like to partner with us, and
okay.
they said yes. Mm-hmm. And Brian Townsend of the Players Guild is writing an original script for us. So it is going to be
great.
Fabulous. It's
mm-hmm.
not one of these canned murder mysteries that you can just purchase, you know. This is going to be done just for us, and we are involving the community. So it's not only the judge and defending attorney and prosecuting attorney in Sue DeBaja and Ali Hamoud and Mayor O'Reilly, but it's also witnesses who have paid additional monies from our patrons who are playing the part of witnesses. We're going to have judges and a bailiff, of course, and a court reporter. So if you would like to attend and also be a part of this murder mystery, I would love for you to call our line here in at the Dearborn Symphony, 313-565-2424, to make your reservation.
Mm-hmm.
Prices begin at $175 per person, and that's because it is a fundraiser for both organizations. And it is going to begin at 6 o'clock, rather, with cocktails in the rotunda. Mm. And our Merchants Fine Wine is donating the martini bar.
Oh, nice.
And they have come up with two drinks called the Smoking Gun and the Silver Bullet. And, of course, there'll be wine and Perrier, too. But
well, of
after,
course.
Of course, and after the cocktail hour, we're going to adjourn to the Great Hall, which is all marble and glass overlooking gardens. And we're going to have a sit-down dinner catered by Park Place. And the wine is being donated by Westbourne Market right here on Michigan Avenue and Oakwood.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two of our people, Westbourne Market and Merchants Fine Wine, who are helping us by donating the product, and that'll help our bottom line too.
Mm-hmm.
Then, after the dinner, oh, by the way, the murder is going to take place sometime during the cocktail hour or the dinner mm-hmm. hour. And then, after dinner, we will, before dessert, we will adjourn to the courtroom, and we are going to have an actual trial. And, of course, the people I mentioned will be taking the lead roles, and we will have jurors from our community,
mm-hmm.
witnesses from our community. They're all going to be an active participant in this murder mystery, and the trial will take place. And we will see who and what happens.
So we don't want to give away any whodunit yet.
Oh, but, no.
Gloria, it sounds like you should be an actor in this show.
Oh.
It sounds like you're having too good a time with this presentation.
I love doing fundraisers, and I've done several for the Dearborn Symphony, and they've always turned out well, and everybody has enjoyed them. So, and I wanted to come up with something different other than just a dinner and dancing for a gala. Why not dinner and a show? So this is what we're doing this time.
And that leads to my next question about what has been your background as far as fundraising goes
Before I answer that, I have to tell you, then after the trial, we adjourn back to the Great Hall for dessert, which is being, again, hosted or given to us by Dearborn Sweets. So they're doing the dessert table, and then we're going to have a little music. Now, my background with the Dearborn Symphony?
Sure.
Well, I started there helping them with their fundraisers, and I've done many of them. I don't even know how far back to go. But we were doing them to raise monies for, of course, fundraiser. And this is the first time that we are in partnership with someone else, the Dearborn Players Guild.
Okay.
And so that is my background. And prior to that, I was with the other symphony, where I did some fundraisers for them, too. And I won't go into detail there, because we are concentrating on the Dearborn Symphony.
Well, we're talking with Gloria Nysik, and she's talking about the big murder at the 19th District Court event, which is going to be on the 22nd, am I correct?
29th, Saturday.
So it gets really scary. It's a scary time of the year.
Oh, it is.
Okay, the Saturday before Halloween, which is on a Monday this year, folks. And so I have to say, it was many years ago, and I'm trying to remember where. I think I went to Chicago, and there was some sort of murder mystery presented there, too. And it was it's one of the famous Broadway plays, but or at least touring plays anyway. And it was a murder in a hair salon.
Oh,
it's called Scissors or something. Or
wow,
killing
me
scissors.
Idea.
It was cute. It was a comedy. It was a comedy mystery. Is this a comedy or a very serious?
Well, I don't know. With all of the community people participating, I suppose it's going to be a comedy.
Yeah, hopefully, some ad lib jokes to keep it light.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to come up with something terrific. And we're even going to have a hearse parked in front of the 19th District Whorehouse.
Whorehouse. this is live, Gloria. This is live, you know.
Hal Peterson is
donating the hearse.
Donating the hearse. Yes.
Great. Yeah. Well, some people have said certain things about the courthouse. I hadn't heard that one before.
Nor have I.
Yeah. But there's always a lot of controversy about the judges, and I won't go into the political background and details, but certainly in election year. That right now, folks, just in case, just to sum up the political thing, there's one open slot out of the three for the 19th District Court. It has nothing to do with this event, and Gene Hunt is one of the candidates, and the other candidate is Susan DeBaggia. And of course, we want you to register if you're not registered, and go vote on November 8th for your choice of the best person. This is going to be a great fun event. Again, the cost is tax deductible.
It
to
is.
A certain extent, or maybe all of it. And it's, you said, how much per person?
$175.
But that includes all the appetizers and
includes
beverages
everything,
and
the entire evening, the
food,
the cocktails,
and, right.
and the wine, and the dinner, and the show, which is the murder. And
so this
a
little
is gonna, music.
Not going to be like an hour. This is going to be a couple hours.
Several hours, yes. Probably ending around 10
o'clock.
I've heard
some of those court trials go on for days, but not this one, probably.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Because
then they could, they'd be...
Have a sleepover.
Yeah, well, you put them in a hotel, so the hotel cost is included in the price of... No.
Yeah, whoever doesn't die will stay in the hotel.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're making jokes here, but it's a great fundraiser, and it's a great idea. Sure, it's a little pricey, but when you consider a night out on the town these days, and it goes to a great cause, and the ticket prices are deductible on your taxes next year, so it's a great cause. A lot of people don't understand how expensive symphonies are to run, how much they cost. And primary reason is these are employees who have to be paid a living wage. And these are professionals. These are artists, in fact, better than your average person, because of the time they put in and the years of experience perfecting their art. And so there always has to be fundraisers when you have those kinds of upfront costs. And of course, I assume that even the city of Dearborn charges certain maintenance fees and so on for the building when you're performing. So
yes, and it does cost us about $30,000 to put on a concert, and that includes the musicians, the conductor, the music we have to purchase, the licensing agency, mm-hmm. the library, all of this put together. And of course, we do incur some fees because of the janitorial services, etc., that are applied to all of this. And of course, it includes the rehearsals, and we usually have three or four rehearsals. And that depends on the complexity of the music as to how many rehearsals we have. And for all of this, I think our ticket prices are very well priced. They run anywhere from $15 to $35. And if you have a student ID, you can pick up a ticket for $10.
No, that's great news.
And and if you're a child with an adult, it's only $5. Mm-hmm. So really, they are very, very well priced.
Yeah. Just by comparison with the Detroit Symphony those ticket prices are double at least on average.
Even more.
More.
Okay. Even more. Yeah. So you're getting a really
And the parking
good
is free
deal.
Outside the center, too.
Correct. So, it's not $6 or so. No. It's free. So really, it is the best deal in town. And we also offer two children's concerts. They're back-to-back. Oh. And this costs us about $10,000 to put on. And they're funded by our service agencies in the area, Kiwanis, Rotary, the Exchange Club of Dearborn, and also our patrons. And if there's anyone out there who would like to send a child to a concert, it would be nice to receive a $10 donation, because $10 will send one child to a concert. Mm-hmm. And again, you can do this by calling our symphony office at 313-565-2424.
So let's be clear about the event on October 29th. Again, mm-hmm. it's Murder at the 19th District Court right here in Dearborn, sponsored by the Dearborn Orchestral Society, a benefit for them. But in fact, there's not a symphony performance.
Correct.
That's not a symphony performance. It's not one of their regular performances. So just in case people think, oh, we'll solve the murder and then we'll go to hear some music. No, that's not the event for the evening. But it's again, a lot of food, beverages, and great fun getting involved. And people can get involved as much as they want to, I guess. That's usually the way these kinds of interactive plays are. And just to go back to my experience in Chicago at this murder mystery, it's a lot of fun, you know. Mm-hmm. and in this case, at least I recognize at least two of the names are local politicians, Susan DeVaja and Mayor O'Reilly, of course. So get to see them acting. Are politicians really good actors? Mm-hmm. And if they are, what does that say about our politicians? I'm sorry. I always think about that.
You better be able to play a role if you're a politician.
You have to be a good diplomat, to actually,
lots of tact.
Right. But then again, how do we know when they're lying or not if they're so good at play acting? No, all of our people in Dearborn, as far as I know, at this point, are all very trustworthy, and it's great that they're giving their time for this event, too. For fundraising, which is also important. And this fall, maybe you remember also, the home tour is every spring. They usually have a neighborhood association chosen, some area in Dearborn neighborhoods, and they have selected homes that people can walk through, around, and get, decorating ideas, landscaping ideas. And those have been done, not necessarily every year, but pretty much every year.
And they, too, help to raise money for the symphony.
Oh, of course, and it's all important. That's sort of a tradition. And sometimes there's even chamber music performances. Sometimes sometimes at a person's house that I remember over the past years that are sometimes done. Mm-hmm. And there's all these ideas. I know WHFR, we're a nonprofit too. We can't survive on the money that the college gives us, which is not from their general fund, but from a student activities fee. And we get no money from the state of Michigan or the federal government or anything like that. And we have all volunteers like John Conroy right here, 50 volunteers that help to make it possible. And I assume you're a volunteer yourself.
Oh, definitely.
That's
right. I have been one for many years.
That's right. And thank you very much, because that's it's the only way these organizations can survive, but they all need additional support at times. And I hope this excites you. Tell us about the next the regular scheduled music concert coming up.
Fine. We offer five concerts. Three are classical, and they're conducted by our conductor, Kypros Marcou, and two pops where we hire guest conductors. And our next performance is Friday, November 11 at 8 o'clock, and it's in the Performing Arts Center, and we've titled it Kaleidoscope because it's it's celebratory and ceremonial music. And we're offering short little pieces from Handel, Bach, Mendelssohn, Mozart, Newman, Tchaikovsky, and Rimsky-Korsakov.
Just to mention a few names.
A few. They're just short little pieces. And our violin concerto is going to be played by Bella Hristova. She comes to us from from the Young Concert Artists Industry. Mm-hmm. It's a nonprofit organization, and they are responsible for bringing forth people such as Emmanuel Ax and Itzhak Perlman. So this Bella Hristova is going to be the concert pianist.
There's usually
a violinist, and she is terrific. So
usually a great soloist, not necessarily every symphony, but usually there's a special soloist or a special addition to those concerts throughout the year. And they're very, very well regarded people that come and join our very well regarded Dearborn Symphony, of course.
And she's going to be our guest soloist. Bella will be performing the Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto in E minor.
And the date again? That's our next regular symphony performance right here in Dearborn. Go ahead.
Friday, November 11 at 8 o'clock, Performing Arts Center.
I've got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. In my book, it'll never go away until I lose the book, of course. But and the 29th is DOS murder. Okay, 19th.
Okay.
Okay, and so again, for more information, I assume, unless you're sold out, they could get tickets at the last minute on the spot. But you'd like to get the numbers so you have the food and all that organized before. There is a website, of course, dearbornsymphony.org. They probably could use that, but they could probably buy tickets. I'm just guessing, correct me here, at the Symphony Ticket Office? I mean, the Center Ticket Office? No.
For the murder mystery,
right? No.
They have to call the office.
Okay, because it's not actually at the center. It's at
correct.
The 19th District
it's at
Court.
The 19th District Courthouse, and we need to know the count for the for the dinners and for the cocktail hour, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So we're putting a due date of October, what's the following Monday, October 11 or so, or 12?
Monday. The Monday before the 29th?
Or a little later, yes.
It's the 24th. If the murder is on the 29th, then the Monday earlier that week is the 24th.
Okay, that would be the very last day that they could call in, so that we have an accurate count for our dinner.
And
go ahead.
Obviously, people should let you know as soon as possible. DearbornSymphony.org, and you can call them at the office number that's available there on that website, of course. And it's a great purpose, but this is a really a fun idea. And so thank you for organizing that and being the spokesperson. Gloria Nysik is.
And I wanted to mention that there is a limit of 120 people, so if you really would like to be a part of it, call in as soon as you can.
And that number again, Gloria, is 313-565-2424?
Correct.
Okay.
565-2424. Pretty easy to remember. Thank you so much for coming in and talking about murder in the 19th District Court. And again, there's nothing about the political election. There's no references to that, so they're not going to get they're not going to turn that corner. But it's going to be a great evening of fun and food And you get to see a few of our local political celebrities, too, under the lights. So thank you for pulling it together. Hope it's very successful. As always, WHFR will keep mentioning all of the events. I have the big event book. I know it looks messy right now, Gloria, in front of you here. I'm just changing the pages, and we'll be adding that event to our regular announcements, too.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for being here today. And your husband. Hi, Mr. Nysak. Come over there. Okay. I'm going to just play an announcement here, folks, and we'll get right back to you with more of the new WHFR Journal. Take a listen.
The 9th annual WHFR Record Show is this Saturday, October the 8th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Students and seniors get in for free with proper ID. The 9th annual WHFR Record Show is this Saturday, October the 8th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Students and seniors get in for free with proper ID. The 9th annual WHFR Record Show is this Saturday, October the 8th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Students and seniors get in for free with proper ID. The 9th annual WHFR Record Show is this Saturday, October the 8th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Students and seniors get in for free with proper ID.
Well, that gives you the idea. We just got done giving you information about the upcoming October 29th murder at the 19th District Court. A fun night of fundraising and food eating and dramatic performance, too, by a couple of our local celebrity politicians. Well, they're celebrities if they're in this performance, anyway. And so that should be a lot of fun. DearbornSymphony.org for more information. And, of course, tomorrow, oh, my gosh, so important for WHFR in order to survive, the 9th Annual Record Show, Great Selection, thousands of LPs in good condition, and a lot of unique material, music, talk, drama even, in some cases, recorded drama that isn't available anywhere else anymore. I mean, history. And so come by and take a look. We're all sold out in terms of vendor tables. If anybody is still calling, a bunch of people called this morning. Well, I'm sorry, we started announcing table sales, table space 3 months ago, and it's all sold out now. So we'll have a great time, and come on by. A small admission charge to get in, benefiting WHFR only, and then just have fun browsing and all kinds of stuff. Not just records, of course, but CDs, DVDs, all kinds of music memorabilia, too. A lot of fun. WHFR tables. We'll have our logo items on display, like our logo T-shirts, logo caps. We've even got some logo aprons. That's right, barbecue aprons. Boy, we've got our logo on all kinds of stuff, let me tell you. And it's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Getting back to information from the Vote 411 Voter Guide, which you can get now. It has been distributed, and it's available throughout the public venues, the large public venues in Dearborn, like the Center and the new Dearborn Administrative Center, which is on Michigan Avenue 2, you know, just a little closer to West Dearborn. The new City Hall is called the Dearborn Administrative Center. And in their offices, main offices, you can get that, as well as copies of the Arab American News and other local free publications. I think the Press and Guide and Times Herald will charge you a small fee at their racks there, but you can get those papers there too, just like the center, the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. They will have a display also, and other places in town too. But you can also go online, vote411.org. It's the best information you can find anywhere about what's going to be on the ballot and a little bit of background about each candidate. So I'd like to share with you some of the background now about candidates that we haven't talked about yet on this show, even though we've interviewed quite a few. For example, the Michigan House, District 15. George DeRaney, Democrat, is representing us right now through the end of this year, but term limited. He's been there, he will have been there 6 years. He can't run again. And so we have two candidates, a Republican and a Democrat. And I say two candidates only because there's no Green Party, Libertarian, or any other party person on the ballot for this race. So it's going to be one or the other. There was a great story I mentioned last week in the Arab American News that, in the Press and Guide. Yep, the pressandguide.com would have it about Abdullah Hamoud, who's a Democrat, and lost my water bottle here. I was coughing. I don't like to cough on the air, so that's okay. Terrence Guido, or Guido, let's use the name the way it's usually pronounced, Guido.
Wow.
It must be. I think I've got a allergy to leaves. You know, the leaves are now falling in Dearborn. And, oh, my goodness. I like to go out for spirited walks in the fresh air, but I think the fresh air has got some, mold, fungus or whatever. Anyway, I'll get over it eventually. Terrence Guido Guerin, better known by his wrestler's nickname, Rhino. And his website is voteforrhino.com, and that is the word for, F-O-R, not the number four that many candidates use. So voteforrhino.com. In the at the Voter 411 Voter Guide, either the print version or online, it does indicate, and we've already interviewed Abdullah Hamoud. He's on our got a podcast, 30 Minutes, also on July 29th, of this year, and you can go to whfr.fm and listen to that interview. Yes, he was here the same day as Susan DeBaggio. They split the show. He was first. Abdullah Hamoud was first, and Susan DeBaggio had the second half hour. So here's what we know about Terrence Guerin, Republican running for Michigan House 15th District. His current occupation, pro wrestler, sports entertainer, a locker room leader. The candidate writes this themselves, folks. I don't make it up. Education, interestingly, he has down N-A, which means, you. What do those letters stand for you? Not available? Not applicable? How can education not be applicable? Did he go to high school? In other quotes and qualifications experience, he indicates that he's been in the real workforce as opposed to the unreal workforce, I guess. And I'm sorry to make fun about that, but just his word choice there. There's only one workforce, okay? But what's the real workforce? Who does he think's in the unreal workforce? I'm doing a little critical thinking, as a good college-educated person would do here. Is a teacher in the unreal workforce? I don't think so. Politicians. Ooh, there we go. Unreal workforce. I wonder if he... But he's running for a political office himself, so I... Well, anyway, he does say that he's been working for 27 years. Prior to his 14th birthday, he delivered papers and cut grass. Well, there's experience for you. I guess he's not cutting grass anymore, delivering papers. The last 22 years, he says he's been honing his skills in the sports entertainment business, that is pro wrestling. In this billion-dollar industry, he says, there's a tremendous amount of politics. I've honed my skill in bringing people together to get things done. I'm highly respected in this field, or to use the metaphor appropriately, to in that arena, the wrestling arena. Get that? Okay, fine. Now, one of the questions, there are questions that are asked, just a couple, you know, and you can answer briefly to the League of Women Voters, to the Vote 411 people. Priorities, what are your three top state legislative priorities and how would you address them? Terrence Guido Guerin says, number one, fix our crumbling roads. Get our community's fair share of road dollars. Number two, support public education. Ensure teachers get the support they deserve and the students the resources they need. Three, tackle government waste. I may need to resort to wrestling holds for this one. And then he puts a smiley face at the end. You know, the colon, parenthesis, end parenthesis. So he knows how to use emoticons. So that's definitely should be on his resume. I'm sorry, Terrence. He's got a good sense of humor. We did see him at Dearborn Homecoming, not for an official interview. We've asked him to do an official 30-minute interview here on WHFR, and he has not made himself available for that. We've asked so many times, so many ways, from so many different people, including an email I sent through his website, and we've gotten no response to that. But he did say hello and come by homecoming and came by homecoming, but he didn't, you know, he didn't open himself up to answering specific questions. My comment about his priorities, they all sound like priorities of a government waste. I assume every politician is against that, but exactly what are you going to cut? I'll reserve judgment on whether he's a Democrat or Republican there, because one party or the other, even Libertarians and Green Party people, they mean something different by government waste. Each of them want to cut and streamline, but where they cut and what they streamline is something that you have to ask them specifics about. But the first two sound like Democratic positions of the Democrat Party in Michigan. Fix our crumbling roads. What the Republican legislature and governor have already passed is not going to be enough to fix our roads, and it doesn't start for another year. The money doesn't start flowing for another year. Now, that's scary enough, don't you think? I think so. Yep. And so what can we do, you know? You can get some more money out there, okay? The legislature, if they were of the right mind, could add more money from one source or the other and actually fix the roads, really fix them, maybe longer term. And there's all kinds of things they didn't even put in that bill that I won't even go into now. And so the Democrats want to improve the roads beyond what was already passed. And all of us want to see that happen, and the crumbling bridges too. And so it looks like Terrence Guerin does want to do more than what the Republicans have already passed, which kind of makes him a Democrat on these issues. And then number two, supporting public education. We talked about that. We talked about that with Ismail Ahmed last week, a Democrat, Abdullah Hamoud, who's running against him. They want to give teachers more money, more support, and students more resources. And so Mr. Guerin sounds like a Democrat in this regard. Certainly not like the Republicans, who are in control of the state legislature and our state government under the governor's position right now. So next question to the 15th district candidate, Republican candidate, Terrence Guerin. What measures do you support proposed to achieve improved educational outcomes for students in school districts? He says, again, the same thing. Get the teachers the pay they deserve and get money to the classroom so teachers have tools to do the job. Then he says, set the education bar high and then get out of the way, which I assume he means get rid of some of the regulation and restrictions currently that are holding teachers back and administrators back from doing a great job. And let teachers teach, he says. And from my own background, I know that if you get the right teachers and you inspire and motivate them and give them the resources they need, they'll come up with really great ways to inspire and train your students. That's what I think. We're coming to the end of our time. Highway 61 coming right up here on WHFR.FM, WHFR Dearborn. Two more brief responses from Mr. Guerin from Vote 411 Voter Guide. What policy changes do you support regarding campaign funding and voting rights in Michigan? He's for voter ID. Although we kind of have it, although it's not required, but you're supposed to actually show your driver's license or ID. And if you don't have it, it's kind of a hassle going to vote now. So it's not required, but the option is filling out a form, and it's definitely a hassle at time of voting if you don't have a picture ID. But he's in favor of a voter ID required probably for everyone. John?
I was going to say.
Wait a minute. Let me get you on here. Go.
Don't forget to register to vote. The deadline is Tuesday, October 11th, due to October 10th being the Columbus holiday.
Right. Yep. Sort of a day off for public
government offices
and businesses, too. I think banks are closed, too. I'm not sure. But
I think banks are, too.
Yeah. Yes. And remember, Columbus did not discover America. I'm sorry about that, Chris. You went to a lot of trouble, and you weren't the first one here. We know that now. But thanks for the effort, anyway, and for exploiting the native inhabitants that you met. But nonetheless, yes, that's another story. And a lot of people celebrate Columbus Day quite differently. For example, I mentioned this too. I know we're over time now. Native American Festival, we'll talk